This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
What I will say, in the last 11 games, they've really rehabbed my sense of doom that's been happening when somebody else has a big inning, where now I don't automatically feel like they're discluded from winning.
Yes.
Like, oh, they got over four runs. Well, it was a good night tonight. I guess I'll go take the trash out.
There was definitely a stretch there where I really thought that if the other team scored four, the Chicago series, I remember, I think it was game two of the series, the Cubs got off to a 4-0 start, and I was like, well, I better just turn the game off now. Like, I kept watching because I watch all these games, but I was about as bleak as it gets. And then last night, I don't know if you saw the stat or not, they flashed it during the broadcast, but this is the 11th time this season the Guardians have scored 10 or more runs in a game, and it seemed like the most I don't believe you stat I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, there's no way they scored it that many times, but they have. When they've gone big, they've gone big. And last night, in many ways, they did.
It's funny. I mean, I understand the general conversation is they're doing this against bad teams outside of the Astros, and this is what they've done all year. They're not great against teams above 500, and teams below 500, they kind of feast. Totally get it. Don't care. Yeah. Having fun.
Okay, good. I like that the 16-29 record against teams above 500 isn't scaring you in the slightest bit.
No, because here's the thing. There is a point where, even though I still think, I mean, they're 3.5 games back in the wild card. I think they've gained another half game or something like that in the AL Central. So you're at 10 games back in the Central. This all feels manageable if you get the right confluence of events. So it gives me hope that they can still be in it, even if they do make a trade at the deadline, by the way. So it gives me hope for that. It keeps them interesting. And here's the thing. Really, 6.2 runs per game in the last 11 games, it's just fun. Like, I don't have to have championship expectations with this team every year and the weight of the championship drought and all the things that I think some people do tend to put on the Guardians. No, I think this season's going to end up being slightly above 500. I think you might end up in the playoffs. You might not. But let's have some fun along the way. And if you end up, you know, surpassing expectations the way you did last year and certainly 2022, okay, cool. I'm up for that, too.
Well, getting back into the fun-to-watch category is such an important thing just for a fan base in general. And they're getting back into that. And I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Dodgers right now have lost 10 out of the last 12. And yes, there is some panic going on in Los Angeles, but then there's also a recognition of this is the baseball ups and downs that happens. And I feel like with a lot of us in the 10-game losing streak, we didn't take enough time to be like, this is how a baseball season operates. It is going to work this way.
And I think, so I'm glad you're like, I have forgotten how much fun it is when you score six runs or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. Even like the teen Guardians, like, yeah, they had timely offense. They had good offenses. It's really been since the end. Maybe I'm speaking a little too hyperbolic here because they had some good offenses in the 2000s as well with Hafner and Grady and Casey Blake and all those dudes. But like, you know, I grew up on Albert Bell into Manny Ramirez, into Jim Thome, into Eddie Murray, which I got wrong in the previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. Names are similar, though.
They are similar. They are close.
But also love Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Which Eddie do you love more?
Eddie Murphy.
I was going to say. I wanted to know if you were going to be authentic about it or not.
Listen, we had a good year and a half with Eddie Murray. And I loved that.
Yeah.
He wasn't even like my fourth most favorite. But by the way, Kenny Lofton, I'm just going back.
And
like,
I love that.
And Matt, 97. We went from Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton and, Carlos Baerga to I got to watch Matt Williams play third base into David Justice, who all of a sudden was on our team. Marquise Grissom, who we all tolerated. Like, I think back to that.
Which is funny because Grissom was like a good player. And I like that it's just tolerated.
Well, because he was a good player on a team full of great players. And then they turned around and got like Jeff Juden for him. I'm still not over it. However, those were the offenses I've grown up with. And yet, in fairness, it was some of the greatest collection of offensive. You had Juan Gonzalez for a year. Like you had Roberto Alomar. Going into, Lofton into Alomar into Omar, strike that in reverse. Lofton into Omar into Alomar, setting up for Jim Thome and Manny Ramirez. But I just forgot, like, even six runs a game. Gosh, that's nice.
Well, and so
more of that.
And
yes.
It's been 11 straight games with a home run. I don't know. Shouldn't this, if anything, preach to the Guardians front office? And they're not stupid. They know this. But ball goes far, team goes far, score runs, you're going to have good outcomes. Like all this pitching staff needed. In many ways, is to have a competent offense around them. They've gotten better than that in the previous couple weeks. It's been a really good offense in the previous couple weeks, but like it just kind of shows you why everyone was yelling for people to be called up because we just wanted the offense to come from somewhere because you can win a lot of games when you score these runs.
So I'm a little torn because on one hand, it's like, man, it's a lot of fun. Let's keep scoring six runs a game. On the other hand, does it embolden a team that 80 to 90 of the games they've played, their offense has been absolute
hot
garbage.
So that's part of the problem, is they're going to start to think that this is okay, and this is going to be something that will continue. And how many times have we looked at this lineup and said there's four outs in the back end of this lineup? In the past and a half weeks, it's been way more games than not that we've looked at and said, oh, there's Will Wilson into, and you just go down, they're into Jonathan Rodriguez, into Bo Naylor, into, Rocchio's played better as of late. I don't want to throw him in there, but like, let's be honest about it. Like, and so it's tough because they're being rewarded in a way that you don't necessarily want to see them be rewarded, but you still want to win games. So it is what it is.
So it is a weird catch 22 of, all right, yeah, very similar to last year. Remember how that was a top 16 offense for the first 90 games in baseball. And then late July, August, and early September happened, and it was a massive regression where a run, two runs, three runs, you were just pulling teeth to get a run. I'm here to say this is probably just the opposite of that. Like, you were pulling teeth to get a one run, two run, three runs, and then maybe this is the regression of that, which, by the way, if it is, it can't, like, regressions can last 50 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not likely to last 80 games, and it's sure as hell not likely to last like 80 games then into the postseason. So like I am torn on this, and I just think the reality is the only thing right now, my biggest gripe is I just don't know what goes on inside Stephen Vogt's head from 1 minute to the next. I mean, there was pinch hitting, and I know David Fries had a moment here recently.
Yeah, but that was the one that everyone has highlighted as they should.
But I mean, it's
Manzardo hit a home run the previous inning.
It's Bibee and his splits, handling Ciccone the other night when he was rolling.
The splits with Manzardo, it makes no sense. He's got a .590 slugging percentage against left-handers. I get going into this year, it was a big problem. I understand that and I get that. But David Fry is playing awful against left-handers or right-handers. He can't hit it all right now. In what world is that a better idea than letting Manzardo just do the lefty-lefty matchup?
But, I mean, it's even the starters. I mean, there was... I know people criticized the handling of Bibee yesterday. The Ciccone thing where they put him out there for the ninth inning and then didn't have the bullpen going. It was like, there's just... I know he's not a bad manager. I do know, but, like, he is the quintessential... I'm going to overmanage every single thing right now, where you're micromanaging the details. And yeah. I'm honestly shocked in the last 11 games that it hasn't bit you in the booty, because there's been a lot of decisions that should have or started to, and then they had to kind of stop the bleeding really quickly.
It definitely feels more like it's hurting than helping right now. Yes. And that's the big problem I have.
And by the way, that was the case in the 10 games too, where it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, Steven Vogt's losing you games right now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to highlight, because we talked about this a little bit before the show, since July 7th on, so it's a span of a couple weeks, right? The Guardians have hit more home runs than any team in baseball. The A's, they're tied at first, actually, in that category, but they're number one in baseball. They have more runs scored than any team in baseball. They have more RBIs than any team in baseball. They are tied for the lead league in stolen bases in that stretch in baseball, and they have the sixth best wins above replacement in baseball from an offensive standpoint. Like, they're getting unheralded production offensively in the previous couple weeks. That's why they're winning these games. Like, yeah. There's nothing new happening here outside of the idea that they do have one of the best offenses in baseball, and that makes life easier.
But you did say it. When you took Luis Ortiz out of this rotation, I thought, man, but between that and like one other thing this year, you really, Tristan McKenzie completely falling apart. You really, really, I'm going to say it again, really had some cushion in the starting pitching rotation that kind of went away. Well, now Ciccone looks like your ace. Mm-hmm. Like, Bibee looks like he's just kind of a dude. Gavin has kind of flashed on and off. Logan Allen's he's kind of been just a dude. But, like, now all of a sudden, like, you've got Ciccone and Williams giving the start he gave you last night. All this team needs is enough offense. That really is, if we, like, look back in the last 4 years, 2023, yeah, you really didn't have enough offense. This year, for the first 90 games, you just didn't have enough offense. Everything else you can work on, I don't know how far that carries you, but I think the offense has obfuscated the fact that there is a butt ton of pitching depth in this organization.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how you feel about the idea that they've just extended these starters later and later in games, because they're going a little bit different than what they did last year. Remember, last year they were one of the quickest teams in baseball to get to their bullpen. That was the idea. And they had an historically great bullpen. You're going to want to try to get there as soon as you possibly can. Vogt talked about it last night, though, like trying to stretch out these guys as often as possible. I don't love the thinking behind it. Like, long term, it might help out these starters, but like, you never want to see these guys seven, eight, nine innings in baseball. Just isn't a thing these days anymore. Third time through, you're going to have a better chance of hitting them hard. And so it's an interesting tactic that the Guardians are using here.
I just think they've erred on the wrong side of it. Like, I mentioned the Ciccone thing, and people are like, he was at 90 pitches. Of course he's going to go out there for the ninth. And I'm like, okay, it's not 2001. Like, I'm cool. I was cool with him going out there to the eighth inning, because he wasn't really in the danger zone of getting to 100 pitches within that inning. But it's like, all right, 10 pitches.
You're also getting
a 10 pitch ninth inning, your third way, fourth way through the lineup. No,
it's not just about pitches, though, is the problem. And I think some people miss that in that argument, where it's like, oh, he's at 90 pitches. Yeah, he's at 90 pitches, but it's also the fourth time through the lineup that he's seen these guys. And like, it's not a guessing game. More times the hitters see you, the better they're going to hit you. It's like, it's been proven through baseball history. Third time through, they hit you much harder than the second time through, and the fourth time through, you can turn prime Pedro into basically a journeyman the fourth time through a lineup.
And with that, he's also young. Like, we're still in, with every one of these young guys, we're still in the building confidence stage of it. And you can steal a young guy's confidence very, very quickly. And so, I think Ciccone's a bro. I really like that kid. He is just...
He's a bro?
No, in a good way. Not the negative connotation of the bro. I think he's just a dude. He's got a hell of a sense of humor.
I think he's a pitching geek, and I say that in a nice way.
Yeah, but he has like a personality to him, so I don't know he's going to be the guy.
He's just obsessed with baseball. That's why I heard the Baskin and Phelps interview that he did, and I walked away and was like, oh yeah, this kid gets it.
But like
he's just obsessed with the game.
But like, Bibee and, you know, Gavin Williams, do I think maybe you've done a little more damage trying to leave them in than not? Yeah, kind of. Logan Allen, certainly. Like, every time they've tried to, like, put him out. Well, okay, we're going to go six innings now. Feel like it's gotten you a bit. I do think, by the way, that didn't... this is now a different organization, because Tristan hasn't been useful in 3 years. I don't think it helps Sticks either. Like, there's a part of... And granted, it's shifted from each year. But man, I think we're erring on the wrong side of things. And it all comes back to, I still think Steven Vogt's a good manager. But these last the last month to 6 weeks, he has hurt them a hell of a lot more than he's helped them. And you can do that when you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that when you're winning. If the manager's the number one thing losing you games or endangering games, that is where it's the Manny Acta. It is where Manny Acta went from he's going to get a third year and then more to all of a sudden Manny Acta is giving way to Terry Francona.
Yeah, but the problem here is that it doesn't seem like he's getting bit by too many of these choices. And like Manzardo,
I don't think that's a problem right now.
Well, I mean, it's good for the Guardians, but the Manzardo thing, you learn your lessons when you get bit. You know, you learn your lessons when you do the tightrope walk and it doesn't work out. And with Vogt, I mean, it didn't work out in that instance, but you still won the game. So and after the game, a couple people hammered him. Sure, we're talking about it right now, but people weren't like, what the hell were you doing there? Doesn't make sense. And so it just gives him the power to go back and do it again.
Is Steven Vogt overmanaging the Guardians? And I do think, like, if anybody right now is quoting strength of schedule that isn't in the media, I think just have fun. Sit back, enjoy it. It's a good hang. If you enjoy such things, a little cerveza, a little bit of the good Lord's herb, if you will.
Put on like a Jimmy Buffett song.
Just really
get some sandals on.
Lean into the fun of what's going on right now, and we'll wake up to the realities if anything changes over the next couple weeks. 216-474-0092, does strength of schedule matter to you? It doesn't to me. Brandon Thorne, Trench Warfare, walks us through the offensive line this year. How big of a deal will that be for the Browns, and are they positioned to bounce back in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? So the Browns offensive line. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried. I saw like PFF's rankings and everything yesterday, and I saw they did a whole thing about the drop off from like you're basically your level. If they thought you got better, worse, anything in between, and they had a 7-point drop off for the Browns last year. They ended at the 20th overall offensive line, which I thought was interesting, and this year they're projected at 27. But I don't want to be the guy. I'm hardly breaking news here, being like offensive line matters in football. But I'll go back to the idea that like look at CJ Stroud year one with a good offensive line, and then look at what happened in year two. Year two in an offensive line that was just an absolute mess across the board, and CJ Stroud went back to looking very average.
Yeah, I think the real problem in this conversation is the two things that I think are the biggest bugaboos on. Hey, we're gonna build this with a strong run game, and we're gonna bring it back to basics on who we were off the the play action game and all this stuff. So much of it is predicated on having a great offensive line. If you're a good offensive line, it might not be good enough because a great offensive line makes league average replacement running backs, which is what you have until proven otherwise. A great offensive line makes a middle of the road, league average, below league average quarterback room, just a little bit better. And the things that you're banking on, I know everyone's banking on the obvious positive thing, which is, well, you're going back to the wide zone formula, and that's the one you've had success with. So ergo, it's guaranteed they're going to be success. You missed two parts here. One, the injuries, which you talked about.
Yeah.
Two's the age. And we could just get six games into the season, and Joe looks cooked. And Ethan Posick, who I think was a benefactor of playing for Bill Callahan, looks cooked.
Maybe
Conklin's older
Conklin
as well.
Gets injured all these guys. That's a problem. I remember 2 years ago, even down that stretch with Joe Flacco, and that's kind of what made Joe very impressive to me, is that we had 11 different offensive line combinations in a 5-week stretch. And it was like, how do you do this? How do you make this sustainable? How do you continue to win games while doing that? Because most other people wouldn't be able to. It's one of the more impressive parts of the Joe Flacco experience the first go around. And maybe that's obvious. It might be part of the reason why Joe Flacco should have the edge out for week one to begin with anyway, so that he can win no matter what the offensive line is.
But like injuries, all right, I think every offensive line in the NFL can say, man, if we just stay healthy.
Well, yeah, and that's another problem too.
But to me, it's the age. It's Joel is 33, 34. Wyatt's 30. Posick, I want to say, is about 30. Jack Conklin.
I mean, everyone not named DeJuan is 30 and older.
Yeah, and that's just, and like, here's the thing. I know Wyatt Teller's still a baller. I do. I watched it last year. As a matter of fact, Brandon, who we were going to have on in this segment, I was going to tease him because I'm like, all due respect to Lindstrom, the kid in Atlanta. He's not better than Wyatt. He's not. Wyatt was hurt last year for a fair part of that series, and he was really, really great.
Yeah.
He just played on a bad offensive line. So all this being said, though, like the age stuff, like if the offensive line either is cooked because of age or they're just not healthy enough going into the season, the offense doesn't have a chance. That's where, because we could all say, well, the quarterback's the most important. Okay, look at the quarterbacks. With all due respect to Joe, with Kenny Pickett, with Shador or Dylan Gabriel, they will all be a product of, is the offensive line healthy, and is it are they moving well? If not, or do they still have gas in the tank? It's the same thing with the run game.
I mean, it's a reason why
you don't have Nick Chubb now to make up if your O-line is hurt or bad.
It's a reason why it's highlighted everywhere. Why did the Eagles win? They won because of offensive line, defensive line, right? We talked about the Lions a little bit earlier today. They lost their center. They lost the best guard on their line. And so what did they do in the draft then? They had to take two different guys in the first couple rounds to try to supplement that. And they're hoping that's enough to go ahead and help out Jared Goff. What did the first thing Ben Johnson did when he got to Chicago? He beefed up the offensive line and tried to give Caleb Williams a chance after being sacked 68 times, a league high last season. Like, it all comes into play. Like, you're in many ways, you can be dead on arrival if you don't have a good enough offensive line. And the story around the Browns the past couple years, and whether that's through changes with Callahan, but even with Callahan, Callahan's last year, it gets talked about as if it was awesome. It wasn't. That was not a very good offensive line. A lot of injuries.
He was piecemealing it together.
Not, but it did not at the end of it, when all the dust settled, it wasn't a very good offensive line.
And he was piecemealing it together. I think it was ranked 21st or 23rd in the NFL, and we were thankful at the Jerron Christian on the left side of the line. Oh, he gave him 2.5 seconds. We got a chance today. That kind of thing.
Yeah, and like, we're going to have spots where you need Zinner to be better than he was last year. Cornelius Lucas is going to have to actually matter, I would imagine. And like,
by the way, that's like a Wall Street Titan. That's not a right tackle in the NFL. That is not a serious...
Well, he's got to only play guard, because when he played the tackles, it didn't work.
He was okay at right tackle. He was unplayable at left tackle.
It was guard is the only thing I've ever seen him actually do well. And so, we're going to have to. That's the point, though. It doesn't matter if we've only seen him be good at guard. If DeJuan Jones goes down, guess who you're left?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Tackle's going to be
corny.
Corny.
Are we calling him that? Can I call him that? I think we're
going to
call him that.
If you want to, you can. If you get a DM from him personally being like, hey, listen, I let the diddler thing go. But when you go to corny, we got a real problem.
I'll be like, I'm sorry, Mr. Lucas. Would you like a written apology? Because that man is 6'8" and 330 pounds. I might actually 315. Looks very slim. It could be 305. I don't even know. 216-474-0092. I agree or disagree. I think the offensive line is the linchpin of this entire offensive plan. And if they're either cooked or not healthy, this could go from a what I still think is going to be below league average offense to being a very, very hard to watch offense. You and I were having a conversation, though, and we missed it because of the Ozzy Osbourne stuff early in the show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We were talking about the first six games of the season. And we were then going to go to J.C. Treader's comments on an 18-game season because J.C. is now in full damage control. He talked with Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports the other day. He then joined the Dan Patrick Show today.
And he tried expressing, I'm not sour grapes about not getting your sour grapes.
He is very sour grapes.
You sound like you wanted something, you didn't get it, and now you're taking your ball and going home.
And the question is whether you are right to feel that way or whether you're maybe doing the victim thing. I tend to think some of the things he said actually go in concert with what makes sense with even Pablo Torre's reporting on it. But one of the things that came up beyond the NFLPA drama,
or Pablo Torres, as Daryl calls him.
That's just not nice. Was the idea of an 18-game season.
Oh, yeah, that's out of bounds.
Here
okay.
is J.C. Treader talking about an 18-game season on the Dan Patrick Show today.
Rodgers made it clear. Anytime the microphone gets in his face, he brings up 18 games. So I think he's been clear about what they want. But in the end, they can't unilaterally impose that. That needs to be something that's given in a CBA negotiations. And those haven't started. And those probably aren't going to start for a while at this point with everything going on. And in the end, that is a major, if that is something players are ever willing to give, that is a major give that damages players, hurts them bad. I know Roger went on a long list of things recently around sharing costs and lowering cash payments and more international games. Those are all things that are really bad for players. And I think players shouldn't rush into a conversation when the other side is listing off a long list of demands that are really bad for them. We have a CBA until 2031. There is no need to rush into those negotiations.
I think he's from the NFLPA side. I think he's right. I still do feel like 18 games is inevitable.
No, it sounds like it's inevitable. The question is whether or not it's something that we are actively wanting.
Are you on the fence about it?
I am. And so if you want to talk me into it, please talk me into it. I really, last year, it didn't go well for me with how everything was presented. And I loved the NFL season. I did. But there were definitely parts of the regular season where I was like, okay, I can tell Mahomes is saving it for the postseason. I can tell certain teams. It just didn't feel as do or die in any sort of game. It definitely felt like we can lose this game and it's not the end of the world. And I think the further and further we get away from that thinking, I think it is the worse for the sports fan.
So I look at what the Chiefs did last year as some cousin to tanking. It is where you devalue the importance of the regular season to some degree. I also think that's so few and far between. My biggest gripe is when you come to the last week of the season, teams, because of the way playoff seeding works, there's still too much of an advantage to sit your players in week 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that's hurtful, but I think it could be week 19 or week 20 if you go to two byes, and I still think you're going to have that problem unless you fix the scheduling issue.
That's always going to exist.
I don't have like a Donald Draper. I'm going to sell you like one of the wheels that pictures came on in the 1950s. I don't have it. It's simple. More football is better. And I don't think the quality of football has suffered because of more. I think the quality of football suffered because you don't have enough practice time. I really think
that might be more of it than the actual games, but we are seeing more games and we're seeing more. And so maybe my brain isn't associating the right things. Maybe it is just the lack of practice time, but there is a reflection here. I do feel like the game and the sport was better played a couple years ago.
And in fairness to the practice time thing, Yeah, I love the players. I don't want them to have to practice and hit each other more than they have to. Oh, by the way, that's a gross oversimplification because college football has never made players less ready for the actual grind in like what playing in the NFL means. So guys are coming to the NFL more unpolished than they have in a very long time. That one of those things you can't take care of, the one you theoretically could but won't. But getting back to like, yeah, I never saw an amount of difference in game 16 to 17. And like, I think the things that are impacting the quality of the game are things that are beyond the NFL's control or things that they just won't, they can't aspire to fix because it's out of their hands, like with players not wanting to practice more. So I don't think we're going to see any kind of backslide going from 17 to 18 games, other than I do very much appreciate the physical toll it will take on the players, and that is something to be considered.
Well, and so the problem though is that they will eventually add it and make it 18, and then the offset there is going to be like, well, you don't have to do as many preseason games. We're going to take that down to 2 preseason games. It's like, look around right now anyway. Fans don't, and now it'll matter here because we have an actual quarterback competition, so preseason games will be fun for the first time in a long time.
And we actually are a real football town, unlike like half the football towns in America that don't actually like talking football.
But even within the context of us caring about preseason games this year, how many reporters are going to hear be like, well, I only care about the joint practices now? Like the joint practices where people actually get, you know, in actual fights and actually get to go at each other, that's still going to exist. And so you're not really saving them much wear and tear.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. This just comes down to how much money you're going to share. Can you change these guys? Can you change their lives? And by the way, can you find a way that guys like JC, who had really great careers, but what, an 8-year career, where they actually get more bread in their pocket instead of just quarterbacks getting paid now, it's quarterbacks, wide receivers, and defensive ends. Pass rushers. I think that would be the other thing. But yeah, I mean, I really think more football is, I don't think there is an appetite, I mean like a limit to the appetite that America has for football. The only people I've ever heard say that are people in the media who are just convinced that it's like, oh, America doesn't want more.
America wants more. I guess we're not paying attention on Sundays and Mondays when the ratings come in. That's not the conversation. The conversation isn't, does America want more? The conversation is, does the product become less? At 16 games versus 18 games, the product is going to be different. There's a reason why we're not adding to the NBA schedule, right? There's a reason why we don't add to baseball's schedule. We've peaked out where we can go in certain sports. So you wouldn't be wrong. If would you bring that argument to baseball? Let's add more games. Never.
That's 162 games.
You wouldn't do it to basketball games either.
Well, but because there's not a thirst for more of those regular season games. Where in the NFL, I mean, what, 90% of teams are in it for most of the season?
I don't think you're a bad NBA fan if you're like, hey, 60 games, and I think the product would be better. I think you'd be healthier. I don't think that it would be as taxing. Like, I think there is a point within each sport as to where the league starts to go a little bit different, and the play isn't as solid, and there's something missing there. Yeah, and I worry that football at 18 would look different than it did when it was at 16.
I think the only thing I would say is, to what you're saying is,
it's just a concern, because I love it. I love it so much, I don't want it to change.
There's any concrete proof that it's because of 17 games from 16 games that the game has looked different the last couple of years. And I just think we're to the point where going from even 16 to 20 games, you're still talking about the scarcity. I think it's easy one game a week to go to a game a week for 20 Sundays, as opposed to it's 3 times a week or 6 or 7 times a week in the NBA or football. 216-474-0092. Jonathan questions whether he wants 18 games. Do you want 18 regular season games in the NFL? Please just limit can we just get rid of the postseason? Or sorry, the preseason, not the postseason. We'll continue on with this in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. How much of the I don't want 18 games questioning that you have?
Yeah.
How much of that is I don't want to watch the Browns average season for 18 games a season?
I think that did wear into my thought process. I'm not sure where it's like, if they have a 3-win season, we just, cause that's the thing is I love like Sundays in the NFL are my favorite. I get a favorite day 17 times a year right now. Like I'm talking like full slate, top to bottom. You start during the morning, getting into everything with the pregame show, kickoff at 1:00. And then you're watching up until Sunday Night Football ends at 11:15 at night. Like it's my favorite thing. I get it 17 times a year. So being like, hey, get me to 18 doesn't sound like a problem, but I do want to be the person that gets ahead of it being like, hey, wait a second. I think it was better at 16 games than it was at 17, so I'm not sure.
Oh, see, I think having a game a night is a much bigger issue for potential fatigue. Like, I'm just recovered from the weekend by the time we get Thursday Night Football. So the idea that we could have a Wednesday night NFL game or a Friday night or a hate it. No. I'm willing.
Oh, I think if you gave it to me every day of the week, I would take it.
No. See,
logistically, it'd be a nightmare, but I would take it.
So to me, it's just one of the things that gets overwhelming as a baseball fan is it's like when you're in a bad stretch and it's 7. I mean, that 10 game losing streak, it was as if I was going to the dentist.
Yeah, you're right. In those moments, it stinks. There's no questioning it. It does stink. But one thing I think I love about baseball is the idea that it's there for me every night.
Oh, see, no.
For 5 months, I got something on. I have programming for 5 months every single night. It can be doing anything in the world that is happening. It doesn't matter. I'm getting a game, and I love that.
I love the scare. But here's the thing. I'm with you on the.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, the ritual, like to me, I hate Thursday night football. One, it interrupts our show when they're on it, and we have to do a different show. And so, but professionally, I don't mind doing pregame shows. I just don't like doing it during the day when we're doing this, because it's just a different show than we get to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but the other part is, it just like, okay, I now have to stay up till midnight or one. And it's like, I just, and also I love, like, you know, if I could have the Browns play at 1 p.m. every Sunday, I would be the happiest man in the world.
You're going to be pretty happy this year.
If they were also an 11-win team every
okay,
year.
Okay, there we go. Because I'd be pretty happy this year. Have a lot of 1 o'clock games this year.
I'm up at 8. Breakfast is going. You're tailgating already. Maybe you take a quick church run there. Get a little bit of God up in your life. And then by the time I'm home, I sit down. It's the last 15 minutes of whatever pregame show is on, either the radio or certainly on TV. And then I'm right into football. And then, like, the Browns being my intro to football that week, that's how, meaning NFL football, yeah, that weekend, that's how I like it too. When I have to watch, like, when it's like the Saints, okay, that's a bad example. It's the Dolphins or the Jets versus the Saints at 1, and then I got to wait for 4.
But I think this is a cousin to the conversation we're having, and with good reason, right? Like, the idea, one thing that scares me is when people in December start to think, oh, I can go out Christmas shopping with my wife because I watched way too many Saturday, Sunday games back to back. And now I'm going to spend this Saturday. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to hang out and I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to do that. And then the fan realizes, oh, life moved on and I didn't miss anything. I think that's a real problem. Like, one thing the NFL had when it was 16 games is that you had to watch every game and you felt like you were missing something if you didn't. As we expanded to more and more days and more weeks, I do get worried about the person that says, well, I missed a Monday game and then we had Saturday back-to-back games. I went Christmas shopping here. I went to a friend's house here. And before you know it, you're missing a lot of games.
But this is why local fandom is ultimately the gateway drug that will never let you down, right? The NFL itself will let you down on with crappy Thursday night games, or we overbooked the schedule, whatever. But because you have the local tie, and you're in Cleveland, or you're in Carolina, or you're in Dallas, that drug never wears off, no matter whether there were. I know, because they've not been great. They've been, actually, in fairness, the 17-game season, this is as good as they've been since I was a child. But, like, that drug's never worn off.
I mean, it's not you or me. We watch every game. But there are, and it's probably not a lot of our listeners, because if you're listening to Sports Talk Radio, you're a much better fan than most. But, I mean, how many people in your life have you been like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna mow the lawn on Sundays instead of watching that game? Like, they do that. In bad seasons, a lot of Browns fans have checked out in week 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's because of bad football. Not because of a 17. Like, that's going to happen in week 10 if they're 1-9 this season anyways. No matter if whether it's a 16, 17, or 18-game season.
Oh, I thought you were making the case for bad football, good football, didn't matter, you had the local tie.
No. So the case I was actually making was the opposite, which is if they're good, you will not notice. If anything, you'll be like, thank God for an extra week because the Browns are good this year and I get to see an extra game.
Sure. Yeah, from your own team, if they're good, you can have as many games as you want. Like, I'm sure there's Mahomes teams. And from a fan perspective, I'm sure they wish Mahomes played 30 games in a season, but that's just, it's few and far between.
But I will, because I thought about this when I was coming back from downstairs. I was like, if this was an 18-game season and they were destined to go 3-15 as opposed to 3-14 in a 7-game, but I think that's every time, that's prolonged losing, right? If you were the Chiefs and then you had one 3-14 season or 3-15 season, I don't think you'd notice the season length the way you do when your team's just habitually not good enough, like the Browns have been most of my adult life.
I don't know, but I think it does change, like, some of the strategy, and I think it changes some of the conversations that we have in general, and I think that's the part that I'm trying to protect here. I'm trying to protect the idea that every game matters. I'm trying to protect the idea that different parts of the season, we didn't used to have conversations like the guys in the morning did today, where they're discussing how some teams just suck in the beginning of the year and take it a little bit easier and are slower to kind of kick themselves and get themselves in gear. We didn't have those before.
We've had slow starters.
We've had slow starters, but not like it's been in the 17-game schedule. Again, I bring up Mahomes I constantly bring him up in this discussion with reason, where it just seems like the urgency isn't there. Like,
wasn't that there with the Buccaneers, who were the last team to play, the last champion of a 16-game season? That was a team that was like, yeah, we're trying to win, but we're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Well, so that was that was a part of it when it came to like Gronk, for instance. But I think a lot of people got onto that idea. Like Gronk didn't show up till week 11. And he was like, I'm not going to show up because I'm only showing up for the postseason. But that's because Brady will do the heavy lifting in the meanwhile. Like Brady, it's not like Brady took any weeks off in that stretch.
I think I just don't think your greater concern, I think, is fair. And I think it is something that the NFL thinks more about than they'll ever admit publicly of. Are we doing too much? Are we going to start hurting our own popularity? That's why I think so much of this growth has been slow growth over decades at a time. At the same point, I just don't think we're anywhere close to it.
I hope you're right.
Because fandom starts at your local level. And then again, that's the gateway drug to, well, I guess I can watch the 18th game on Thursday night.
Listen, I hope
that's
you're right.
That's likely to be a stinker.
Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, though, I think is living in the back of my brain here. You know, like I desperately.
Said it right looking at me, too.
That's not what that was.
The audacity.
But I desperately hope you're right. I hope that we go to 18, and I just think this is awesome. You added another great week into my sports schedule, and everything, and it feels as competitive as it always has, and it feels like there's urgency, and it feels like the back end of the schedule, there's not a million injuries and everything in between. But we got time to figure it out whether that's true.
John Fanta, Cleveland's own college basketball on Fox, will pick his brain about how excited he is or not about the Cleveland Browns, his expectations this year, all in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.